I just thought you'd feel at home if I play that.
Absolutely.
You're a big Pompey fan. Hey, look, we got Paul Braden in. Afternoon, Paul.
Good afternoon, Ian.
Just tell us your title there over the road.
I'm officially the Isle of Wight Council's Cabinet Member for Children's Services, Education and Skills, and Member for the Ward of Lake South.
And how long have you been doing it?
Since April 2017.
And I've got to point out that, I hope you don't mind this, but, you know, most people, when they take on a job like that, they go grey, but you was grey anyway.
Yeah, cheers, mate.
So lots of positive things that have happened in the last couple of months, summer-wise. Obviously, there was exam results and so on and so forth. There's a lot of things that you do want to talk about.
Yeah,
well, and I've made it. You give me a list of stuff, and I've got a list of questions as well. Well, I haven't. I'm just going to, you know, we'll get by. Mine are in my head. And we've got a big plug for multiple sclerosis.
Yeah.
Which, how come you got involved with that then?
I was conscious that when I left the bank after so long, I'd get, you know, bombarded with offers to join this, join that, treasure this, treasure that. And obviously, I didn't want to sort of jump into something that you know, would take up too much of my time or not what I wanted to do. But in March of this year, a very good friend, ex-colleague of mine, who sadly had multiple sclerosis, decided to leave the island and go down to live with her sister in Bath. And Penny wanted to tie up all loose ends. And she said to me, you know, well, the last loose end she wanted to tie up was the chairmanship of the Isle of Wight Multiple Sclerosis Society. And she said to me, you know, well, would I take on the role as chair? And I thought, you know what, it's... Yeah, I would. And so it's something that I took on. I've learned so much about it. Luckily, some of the board are ex-colleagues of mine in the bank. So I knew a lot of the board members. But I've been blown away by what they do in the 5 months that I've been with them, really.
Brilliant. So you're going to plug a... Let's do the event. Otherwise, okay. If we get bogged down with all the other stuff, we might sort of forget it. And we've got Pompey to talk about as well.
Well, one of the things, really, is that we're quite conscious on the Isle of Wight. There's over 400 people that have sadly been diagnosed with this horrible illness.
Wow.
And people deal with things in a totally different way. But our membership of the Isle of Wight branch is about 30% of those. We want to just have an awareness day to try and invite people, not only the people diagnosed, but their wider family to come to the event. Just we've got some national speakers coming down to talk about the way that some people deal with it and some of the emotions and stresses that it causes to sufferers and their families. For us as a local branch, you know, we've got a wonderful shop / cafe in Shanklin that generates more money than I ever thought it could possibly generate. I've been blown away by the work of the shop manager and 32 volunteers, many who do actually suffer themselves. We have lots of social events. We even arrange transport to get people to these social events. We give out grants to people for whatever they need to make their life more comfortable. And we've got a nationally unique voucher scheme where we give give our members £180 twice a year vouchers they use for therapy sessions through a team of 11 therapists on the island as well. It's just the awareness day to make people aware of what we offer them. And if you engage with us, we can support you and make things available to you. So 16th of November, Saturday, in the Newport Parish Hall at Newport, between 10:30 and 3:30. Drop in, there'll be national speakers, there'll be stands, there'll be therapy demonstrations, tea, coffee, no doubt cake. It's just to try and encourage more people to engage with us and say that there is support there for you.
Brilliant.
Because that's what it's all about, really.
Brilliant. You come back and before then and give it another plug.
With pleasure, yeah.
I'm pretty sure somebody came in from a particular company that was, we spoke about it before, he was a printer. There's a guy that owns a printing company, and he was telling us all about it, because I said to him, what is it? And he suffered with, you get pins and needles, it's like pins and needles all over your body.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not the technical expert on this. It's something, these meshes from the brain don't get to where they've got to get to for one reason or another, from a deficiency in the body. And, you know, my first experience of it actually was many, many, many years ago. My best friend at school, his dad had it.
Right.
And he lived with it for the best part of nearly 50 years before he passed away. And, people deal with it, all illnesses, in their own way. And it's just to say the help's there and available. If you want to engage and need help, someone to talk to, an event to turn up to, or you know, some free therapy sessions, we can offer that. Grants to, you know, do things to your car, do things to your house. You know, we can actually, you know, help with that.
Brilliant. 16th of November, put it in your diary.
16th of November, yes, please.
It's a Saturday. And what was it? It was a church hall, St.
Thomas's. And the Newport Parish Hall.
Yeah.
Next to Town Choice, opposite Subway.
It's funny, where I first started playing table tennis, it was St. Thomas's Youth Club Church Hall, which obviously was knocked down because it was over there, part of Morrison's, and they built that church hall, that hall, as a kind of replacement, as a replacement deal.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, there you go.
What was there beforehand then?
I don't know. Oh, yes, it would have been the cinema. The old cinema.
Oh, of course.
Yeah. Oh, Mrs. Blackwell's cinema.
Of course.
Good grief. That's going right back, isn't it?
I feel old now, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I've got news for us, Paul. We're both old. Or getting older.
Yeah.
Right, okay, let's turn to education. And we've had a good summer, exam-wise.
We have had a really good summer. I've been really, really pleased this summer. I know the results are only sort of provisional. Starting at the top end, obviously, and A-levels. As an island overall, we've gone up from a C- to a C. And it doesn't sound like a you know, a big step, but it is a massive step in overall performance. We've been a C minus for too long, and to improve to a C overall is a stunning performance. GCSEs, when you look at the what we call the basic measure, which is 4 to 9, which is effectively a pass in English and maths, we've increased from 55% to 60%, and the national is only 64%. So we are really pushing now towards national standard, and national was very static at 64, so we've closed the gap by 5%. I don't like putting out single schools in this for recognition, but I would like to just praise Christ the Kings, to be honest. They've had a challenging year, new premises being built and other issues at Christ the Kings. They've had a new leadership team of Matt Quinn and Nora Ward. They've done a brilliant job, because Christ the Kings has gone up by 12.4% in what has been a challenging year, both internally and obviously building around them as well. So credit to them. And Key Stage 2, primaries, it's amazing. All the primary schools have gone up from 54 to 59. Nationally is only 65 and static. And we've got 15 of our schools now that are above the national average at primary level.
Wow.
Especially folks, we put some money into maths this year. $155,000 we managed to get from government towards a maths project. And maths, amazing, has gone up 8% in year. And the schools we focused on, that money, they've gone up by 15%. So it's real. I know they're in provisional results, and they probably, you know, tend to go up on appeal rather than down.
Yeah.
I'm really pleased. It's been a really good... There's obviously some schools that still need some support, and they'll get that. And we can't make sure the schools that have achieved don't slip back. But yeah, overall, it's been a real brilliant year across the board at all levels of exam results, which is really encouraging.
Will that attract... Because I know one of the... You know, people talk about teachers and things like that, and it's the Isle of Wight, and, you know, people don't tend to come across. But with that going in the right direction, is that going to attract, you know, more and more teachers coming across to the island, or maybe even inspire people to become teachers?
Well, I think it will inspire people to become teachers. Attracting quality teachers to the island is always a challenge, mainly on the relocation package, or if they're travelling across, obviously the extortionate ferry fares. But it won't do any harm. And equally, if you're looking to relocate your family to the island for a career change, you know, on the island, you'll look at schools in the area. And you'll look at... Most people will look at exam results. Location's important when you choose a school. But equally, most parents also look at exam results, Ofsted reports. And if they're all going in a positive direction, then they'll have a choice of schools to go to that gives them the education their children want, and that would encourage them to come across and work here themselves to relocate their family across. Good prices, good houses, good environment, lovely island, good school to go with it.
What's lovely there, you took the time and the trouble to praise Christ the King, because I must admit there was a bit of negativity that was floating around for a period of time. And the good thing about it is it didn't last very long.
No, but there was obviously a well-documented issue about, you know, the new sixth form building that they built. And the questions around that are well documented, but Christ the Kings last year, unfortunately, did have not their normal standard of exam results. They've got a new school been built that's now in use. It's yeah. fantastic new premises. Throughout that, we put a new leadership team in there who were new to the island. And, you know, they had an Ofsted report that wasn't very favourable. I'm 100% sure the next Ofsted report will put them back where they should be with a good rating. But to see them go up by 12% with all that other stuff going on is an absolute credit to the leadership, the teachers and the pupils. And that will mean, you know, Christ King has always been a popular school. Unfortunately, this year their intake numbers were down. But I'm sure that will bounce back on the positive stuff that's going on there. Really pleased for them.
So who benefited from the fact that if they've not so many people have gone to Christ again, where did they go?
Well,
because they must have looked at that place and thought, yeah, do you know what? It's touch and go. I don't know whether to go there or go over there because I'm hearing good things. You know, there's always, if there's a negative over there, there's a positive somewhere else.
Yeah, I mean, you know, Cowes is at full capacity, as is the free school.
Yeah.
Sandown is getting near to full capacity, as is Ryde. Carisbrook, I think, is the school that was oversubscribed. So Carisbrook, just up the road, is also new premises, you know, improving results. Yeah, it's all positive.
Good, because, you know, the one thing, I mean, putting it into, like, football terms, you lose a couple of games and you got to stop the rot.
Yeah.
And what's happened is that they had a bit of a rough, only a small period of time, because that's what it was.
Yeah.
But now they're back on track again.
Absolutely.
Whereas they could have just gone on the slide, but they haven't. It's been fixed. Whatever problem it was, it's now been fixed, which is good. It's testament to those people that are involved with that. I think it's really good news.
It's fixed and it's been improved upon as well. Yeah, I think they are the highest results they've ever achieved. And they're well above the national average. Really.
Do you still, just as two blokes, do you still get lots of stick when you go out and talk to people? Because you're a counsellor and stuff.
Not too much. because...
Well, that's good.
I'm the sort of person that I study what I do first.
Yeah.
I'm well prepared when I go and talk to media or press or public because, you know, I suppose my background being in a bank, you had to know all your procedures and your policies and, you know, so you could help people. And I've always spent all my working life helping people and I still see what I do now as helping people, helping the young people with their education, helping the children, unfortunately, that are in care or leaving care, you know, and helping people that want to study for A-levels and degrees to develop our offer for further education. I like helping people. I've always liked helping people, and I don't think I'm that bad at it. You never please everybody. I think, you know, there's obviously issues around the West White side of the island where we're trying to, you know, address an issue, and you're not going to be popular with everybody. But if you do it through a process, a rational process, engaging with the public in consultations, at the end of the day, you're going to get to the right answer. Won't please everybody, but, you know, I know that the answer that I come up with to anything is a thought through, worked out answer for the benefit of the children. And that's what it's all about.
Yeah. And you know, I think a lot of people moan and groan just because they can. They don't necessarily find out the facts and so on and so forth. But I think more and more people are becoming switched on with, you know, what is actually going on, where are the, you know, the lack of finances and so on and so forth, and it's just a noisy minority perhaps on Facebook.
People care. I think, you know, everyone's entitled to their opinion, and I welcome everyone's opinion because it's really the world we now live in. If someone gives an opinion that, you know, and then gives you opportunity of putting your side of the story, and then obviously they either like you, they don't. You know, there's a great article in the County Press last week, actually, from a resident of Yarmouth who wrote a letter, you know, saying he'd listened to all the opinions and read all the papers and, you know, he'd given a considered opinion on where he now saw, you know, the situation. And if people to balance and listen, don't have to agree, just have a debate, an honest debate, and I've always been honest with people, an honest debate, and then, you know, we'll agree to disagree if we have to.
Well, it's going in the right direction, which Absolutely. Is good. So you must be doing something right, your team as well, which is great.
I've got a great set of officers, and they do their job diligently, and, you know,
yeah,
with a children-centred approach.
Excellent. And you said C+. Where do you hope to be in the next 12 months? Is it a B or a, I mean, two?
No, you know,
do it gradually.
To make steps at A levels is very, very hard because a lot of facts have to come into play at once. yeah, of course, I'd like to go higher. You know, I want the best for the children.
Yeah,
you got to get within all those results. Of course, there's some schools that haven't done as well as we thought they would. Some schools have done better than we thought they would. And what we've learned, what I've learned over the last couple of years, is that if you think someone's got it in any, you know, you got to make sure they have got it, and still help and support them if they need it. Rather, otherwise, you'll increase the bottom end, and the top end will drop, and you have the same overall result.
Mm.
So it's keep good schools still doing well and still challenging them, as well as challenging schools that didn't quite do as well as they would have liked, to help them do even better, you know.
Okay, what has happened regards to, because a couple of years ago there was something that was brought in that people had to stay on. If you didn't get a job, or you didn't go into sort of after training, after school, you know, college and so on and so forth, you had to stay on. Have those youngsters benefited from that? Is that a positive?
I think they have. I really do think they have. You know, we're trying to put together now a higher education hub. Which will mean if anyone wants to study for particular employment, you know, they can go to this hub and find out who offers the courses that they want to do to get to that end destination, and equally get employers to tap into that. If employers want a certain skill in their job, in their firm, you know, where can they go to make sure those courses are being run? So we're putting together a higher education prospectus. I've seen the first draft of it, and I was really impressed. It's not necessarily a building, although there will be premises attached to it. It's just a directory of all the higher education available on the island that employers can look into, parents can look into, pupils can look into, to see what the island needs employment-wise, what's available, where can I get the skills to do that? It's joining all the dots, really.
Someone came in recently from the council, and we were chatting. I think it was a lady called Rhaenyra, and she said, and I said, every time someone comes in now and talks about this, I'm going to bang the drum, because we need to. It's a positive thing. She was telling me that there are around 400 youngsters, or there were earlier this year, 400 youngsters that are going out to do some kind of work experience, some kind of what would they call, training or apprenticeships around, you know, a variety of different businesses. Mm. But we don't shout about it.
No, Rhaenyra was one of the main drivers behind this HE prospectus has been put together. She was the one to help get the funding for stage one, got the consultants on board, and organised the meetings towards where we are. So sadly, Renee has now left the council and gone on to do an education role for the Ellen MacArthur Trust, and I wish her all the best, because that is her field of drive and motivation. And she's got us to this level one where we are now with the prospectus being produced.
That carry on.
And a lot of credit, absolutely.
Yeah, good.
A lot of credit goes to Rhaenyra for getting us to where we are.
Yeah, and I say that we don't shout about it enough, because they say there's 400, that means there's 400 youngsters out there that are actually doing something, and hopefully that will benefit them in the future for, you know, to get jobs and you know, get some kind of experience as well, which is fantastic.
There's also a similar number doing, you know, degree courses on the island as well, places like, you know, Fantastic Platform One and places like that are doing these degree courses, HTP. So we do offer a lot. It's just making it in one pot so people know what we're offering.
Why don't we shout about it though, Paul? Because it's such a positive thing that you hear loads of negatives from people, and you think there's 400 youngsters out there that are actually learning trades and apprenticeships and so on and so forth. You think that's a brilliant thing. Too many people are negative about, well, what happens when they, you know, there aren't any jobs and so on. Yes, there are jobs out there. There's factories out there that are taking on. The factories aren't as big as they used to be 20 years ago.
No.
But there's a few more that have popped up here and there, and they are, you know, because obviously 400 youngsters are going out to a variety of different places.
I think there's a piece of work to do there with the Chamber of Commerce as well to promote what business we have got, what apprentices they've got, what we are doing. There'll be a big launch of this HE prospectus probably around Easter time next year, when we have to launch this across all the schools, across all the businesses. This is what's available. You know, there'll be a big launch in the paper because it is happening.
Yeah.
Yeah, lots of positives.
And it's so positive. And I'm just thinking, why aren't we? I must have missed the press release for that because I didn't get one. And you think it's such a big thing that we ought to be shouting about. And I said to Rhaenyra there and then, I said, every time someone comes in and we touch on this, I'm going to bang the drum because people just need to be reminded there's a lot of positive things out there.
We do try and do press releases on a positive way, instead of having sort of reactive ones. Like things about this, yeah. This I said mentioned earlier about the money we secure for a mass project at Key Stage 2. You know, the 20 schools that benefited from that project, 15% increase is stunning. We are going to do a big event about that. I'm going to invite the MPs coming in to meet with the head teachers of the schools in the project, so we can share the learning from that. And there will be a big press release that follows that.
Excellent.
You know, because it's you know, maths was a weakness on the island, or not a strength. We've done something about it, and we can report back to government saying, you gave us some money, look what we've done with it.
I'm going to ask you a question now.
Yes.
And you can sidestep it if you want, okay? Is there an element of when you do something really, really good at the council, like we've just spoken about, the 400 people, do you like not put it out there because, yeah, for that maybe there'll, because there'll always be a negative reaction from someone? Or are you frightened of the good publicity, or you put it out there and people pull it to bits, that negative story? Are you worried about that and that's why you don't do it? Or was it because, like I say, at the end of the day, this positive thing has happened and somebody's taken it upon themselves or not to not do anything, to not shout about it? It's almost like you're too frightened. Look, if we duck down, nobody knows we're here. And the minute we put our heads up and say, hey, look, we've done something really blimmin' good here, and come on, let's get behind it and shout about positive things.
Definitely not frightened about putting things out there. We are doing some fantastic things, which I'm incredibly proud of. And it's a case of turning our media machine at the council round from the day-to-day reactive stuff to the positive stuff.
Mm.
You know, we've got a new... I mean, you met Martin Neville that I work with.
Sure.
Martin's brilliant.
Yeah.
You know, and he wants to do these positive stories. We are doing these positive stories. Am I bothered about the criticism? No, because I know that the press release we're putting out there telling the good news story, we've done it. It's something to shout about. Yes, people will always say, oh, well, it would have happened anyway, or... You know, but I can live with that, you know, because I know that what we've put out there tells a story to the bulk of the island. Look, this is what we've done, this is what we've achieved, this is really good news for our children, for our young people, you know, let's tell everyone about it. People will knock it, people will try and make political gain out of it, but I don't care because I know what we've done is right and it's worth shouting about.
Yeah, too right. I mean, I know that, you know, for years and years and years, people moaned about the roads, and they still do because certain roads haven't been done yet. Well, Rome wasn't built in a day.
Nope.
It's a 25-year project, and, you know, our roads have just been done. And around our way, it's brilliant. They've done a terrific job. I'm really, really pleased. And I know that, you know, that those one roads, those now and again, you go, they're really bumpy and they need doing. And yes, we wish that, but they're going to be done. And what they have done, they've done a terrific job. And I'm really, really pleased. Really, really pleased. But the aggravation my people are moaning and groaning. I'm not moving my car. We had people in our street, Paul, that said, I don't see why I should move my car if they're going to tarmac the road. Well, how can they do a brilliant job, the perfect job, if your car's still parked there?
Yeah.
There were six cars that was parked in one particular road near us, and they were all moany groany people that refused to move. And you just think, you are probably those moany groany people that are on Facebook having a bit of a dig at everything positive. And I don't envy your job on a day-to-day basis where you've got to come. You know, I don't have to worry about those kind of people, but you do.
It's so quite funny. I mean, you know, obviously I'm talking here about my cabinet role. When it comes to my ward, I get lots of phone calls about issues in my ward. I talk to people and I sort them. With the caveat of, I'll try and sort this. If I can't sort it out, I'll come back to you and say what the regulations are. I've had, you know, interesting conversations with White Fibre. I've gone through Lake and done some work on the pavements and roads. Issues have been reported to me. I've gone back to White Fibre and said, look, this isn't good enough or this isn't acceptable. Regardless of whether it gets changed, I'm listening to my residents and trying to help them out. Initially, you say about Island Roads, funny enough. Island Roads obviously is a separate company to the council. We do not own Island Roads. We give them the contract because people still think Island Roads are council employees. No, they're not. But I do a bit of part-time work, believe it or not, in Fields menswear.
Right.
And I was in Sandown probably 4 or 5 months ago, and I got engaged with a, you know, chat to anyone, you know, the lady and the husband, and came out as a county councillor, and she said to me, "Ah, your roads," and I thought, "Oh God, here we go." "Your roads," she said, "are the best roads I've seen in the south of England. We travel across south of England quite often to Devon and Cornwall, and your roads on the island are by far the best roads you've ever seen." Now, I was expecting, obviously.
Yeah.
But, you know, because we have got, you know, we have done a lot of work on the roads on the island. You know, but, you know, people have to move cars. Roads are graded on when they should be done. But a lot of work, you look at the miles and miles of roads that have been done, a lot of work's happened.
Yeah, and I think they've done a terrific job. I really do. I'm really, really impressed. And I say we should shout about it. And obviously, this particular person, you know, collared you in if you pardon the expression, collared you in Fields menswear.
Absolutely.
Do you know what? That's a success story.
It is.
We don't shout about the successes. I didn't even know that they still existed in Sandown.
Yeah.
I know they're still in Newport, and you think to yourself, they've been going for such a long time. People ought to be going to them now and saying, "How did you manage that then?" Whilst, you know, the rest of the town is sort of struggling a little bit, and they're still in Sandown.
It's still a fourth generation of family business now.
Good on them.
And I mean, a little anecdote. I mean, when I first started working there, when I retired from the bank, I thought, well, you know, these boxes of stuff came in, things like braces and cravats and bow ties. And I thought, who on earth's going to buy it? We sold loads of them. People come in, "Have you got any braces over there? Have you got any cravats over there?" It's they cater for everybody,
yeah,
everything, of every size. And we're talking some, you know, so quite a lot of people come, if they're of a certain size and they find something that fits, they tend to buy as many as they can. You know, size 15 socks, things like that.
How brilliant.
Yeah.
I think it's fantastic. Hey, look, we're going to take a break,
yeah,
and we're going to come back and we're going to chat some more about schools. I want to talk about holidays.
Yep.
Because I saw something that you quoted as saying in the week about the holidays. I was a little bit surprised that there are certain schools that have decided not to do the 5 weeks in,
yep,
the summer holidays. So
yep,
I wanted to talk to you about that. And also fostering. You wanted to chat about fostering,
yes, please,
as well.
Yeah.
Okay, quick break. We'll come back straight away.
Visit to your optician, knowing that every time before has cost a fortune? Those days are over. White Sight tailor-made prescription eyewear specialists are now in Cross Street, Ryde and Shooters Hill, Cowes. Call in with your prescription for the cheapest quote on the island before buying your next pair of glasses. We have glasses for everyone, starting from as little as £25, with a range of sunglasses and designer glasses ranging from Jimmy Choo, Oakley, Ray-Ban and many more. For more information, call Ryde on 61882 or Cowes 3035.
Hi everyone, we are the White Bay Hotel, situated in Sandown, one of the island's best kept secrets. With breathtaking views of the coastline and just 5 minutes walk to the beach and town centre. Within our hotel is a large fully catered restaurant and bar with free Wi-Fi and parking. Check out our customer reviews and feedback. For more details, call 01983 402518. For bookings or inquiries, that's 01983 402518.
Immerse yourself in the nostalgia of how railways used to be at the Isle of Wight Steam Railway. Our genuine island locomotives and carriages date back to Victorian times and are immaculately restored to pristine condition. The one-hour train ride takes you through unspoiled countryside and woodland. So come and enjoy a journey with a difference at the Isle of Wight Steam Railway. For further details, visit iwsteamrailway.co.uk.
Dementia can be a lonely and frightening place, not just for the person diagnosed, but for families too. Families need someone with the expertise, experience and empathy to guide them through the challenges of dementia. Through a growing number of specialist admiral nurses, Dementia UK is working tirelessly to make sure that every family living with dementia has access to the support they need. To find out more, visit dementiauk.org today. You can also call the Admiral Nurse Dementia Helpline on 0800 888 6678 or email helpline@dementiauk.org. Thank you.
Working at Vectis Radio as part of my work experience was an amazing week and a great opportunity to improve my confidence and most of all my communication skills. It is a great place for young people in the community to have a voice and talk about what they feel is important, whether it's a serious matter or a light-hearted interest. The four-piece project not only teaches technical skills like producing and promoting, but also your social ability and is open to anyone. If you'd like to take part or learn more about this, visit www.vectisradio.com.
Music variety.
Music variety
that blows your mind. Vectis Radio FM 104.6.
The Mid-Morning Show is proudly sponsored by PC Consultants, the island's leading provider of IT service, consultancy and support to businesses, public sector and private clients across the island. Call us at PC Consultants on 01983 811 711 to find out more about our award-winning service.
Welcome back to the Lunchtime Social Discussion. We've got Paul Brading in, and we've got loads to talk about. So there is no music between now and 1 o'clock. We want to talk about holidays for a bit, because obviously a little while ago, well, it must have been a couple of years ago, we all sort of said we're gonna have a little discussion about the school holiday situation, doing yep. away with the 6 weeks and having an extra week at the half term in October and so on. And I just noticed this week, because obviously there were kids talking about it and before the summer holidays, have we only got 5 weeks? No. You got the 6 this year, but then from when you get back, that's when it all starts. But I noticed that there was a couple of schools that opted out.
Yeah, I mean, this is the first year that the new 2 week October half term, you know, kicks in. As I said at the time, you know, it's designed hopefully to improve standards. Will you ever measure what it worked or not? Not specifically, because obviously standards are going up anyway. But it was a consultation. The public decided that they thought they wanted to do it. So, you know, well, yeah, I brought that in. I said it's an open consultation, so we made the change. So there were 6 weeks this summer, 2 weeks in October, and next year there'll be it's actually 5 weeks and a day, because it normally works out that the August bank holiday it would be the first week of going back. So next summer there'll be 5 whole weeks. And then a bank holiday, and indeed the year after will be exactly the same, I believe, on the calendar.
Right.
We have no leverage over all schools to make sure they the academies, you know, may not follow suit. And there are a couple, that had conversation with me first. They were saying that we're not going to follow, and they gave me the rationale why. We had an open and honest discussion with them. I said, you know, the problem you may have is that you will have a pupil at your school who's got a sibling at a primary school, which will have the 2 weeks of October half term. You know, so you may be inconveniencing some of the families in your school. No school said they wouldn't rule; they wouldn't ever do it, but they wanted to measure the evidence and the impact of it, which is tough to do because, you know, but. The school's concerned. We did have an open, honest discussion before they actually rolled it out. I've got there, it gave me the respect to have had a conversation.
How hard would it be, just say, for instance, I'm not saying it won't work, because I think those people have gone into it in a way that they probably, you know, they've worked out all the permutations. But how hard is it to implement, and how hard would it be to change if you had to?
It's quite easy to implement, because we just a consultation, a paper. Delegated decision, ask for representations, and then obviously we make the decision. So this year was made last year. I've just made the decision now for the following school year, 2021, which would be the same pattern. So if there was if for example I thought by this time next year I wanted to change back again for 21-22, I could just, you know, produce a paper, consult on change it back. I will always consult on change it back again. And I could change it back again, but at the moment, you know, this is the first year to see if it works.
What's nice about that is it, you know, you're not prepared to be a stick in the mud. You want to try different things, and it might work, and it might not. And if we change it back, but it's, you know, if you don't try these things, you're never going to know, are you?
You set the school year for the year after next, sort of like 15, 16 months in advance.
Yeah.
So, you know, no, 2021's now been signed off, but we could change for 21-22. We could change that by sort of July time next year. But, you know, we would always consult on any changes to the educational timetable.
Yeah,
and, you know, the schools that are out of kilter, you know, I will always talk to them when I go and see them what's on the agenda. You know, what are your thoughts for your, you know, school calendar for the year 2021?
Yeah, so we just got to give that a go. I mean, you might get to, people might get to October and think, do you know what, it's 2 weeks in October, the weather might be absolutely horrendous and it might be worse for all those families, or it might be really, really nice and you think, do you know what, it's a bit like still like summer, like... It's not going to work out too bad.
So, sure, if the weather for this October is 2 cracking sunny weeks, people think, what a great idea, 2 weeks off school.
Yeah, if not.
If it rains for 2 weeks, I'll probably be the worst person in the world again. But, you know, you can't control the weather.
Okay, look, I want to pass on some a message from three 15-year-olds that did the 4 P's the tail end of last term.
Yep.
They were all 15 and they were doing what is it still called, mock exams?
Yes.
And they said that they did the mock exams and they were quite stressful times, and the reason why they were stressful is because they'd done the mock exams but they hadn't done the lessons for those kind of questions in the exam. And I thought, when they first said this, I thought, well, you must be, surely not. But they hadn't got to the part in the syllabus where they actually learnt those things and they did the exams. And they said they were very, very stressful. Well, I mean, I'm just passing on what they were kind of saying. I'm not sure this is the same in every school. I'm not quite sure how it works. But is there something we can look at? Is that something that happens a lot? They do the mock exams. And the reasons for, I mean, I remember doing mock exams, but... Well, no, actually, I don't remember. I did them, but I don't remember doing them, and I don't remember being under pressure. I think kids are under more pressure than we ever were at school. That's just an opinion. But they were saying that. Well, my parents didn't care. I mean, your parents might have cared. You got to work in a bank, so I would imagine they pushed you a little bit more. I was never going to work in a bank, but they were kind of worried that. You know, they got through this. This was supposed to be a learning experience for the following year when they did their exams, and they were worried that they hadn't got to the part in the syllabus where they were actually learning the stuff that they were being tested on, and they were worried about it.
I think, from memory, I'm sure I did mock exams before I did my O levels.
Right.
So the mock exams have been around, you know, forever. Mock exams are normally past papers.
Yeah.
That help you get in the zone for exams. I think sometimes, you know, the most academic person in the world, if they struggle in an exam environment, won't get the grades that they deserve for their abilities. I think mock exams in that respect were a good idea, not meant to stress people out. And if they're doing mock exams which are unprepared for the mock exams, they shouldn't be, because the syllabus and the teaching should get them to the level that fits in timetable-wise.
Sure.
With the mock exam. So if they've got to a mock exam without the correct level of, well, correct stage in the syllabus, and obviously that's a fault of the teaching and learning. And well, so, no, I don't think it's common, because the education year is geared up to mocks.
Yeah.
And then, yeah, more tuition before the final exams. Mocks give you an indication of where you are, areas that may need a bit of tweaking. And I said, I'm sure we do them.
Yeah, I won't name the school. There was three students who came in, and they, as you know, when they come in to do the lunchtime social, they pick the subject, and that was one of the things that, you know, that they talked about stress, they talked about the hassles that they'd had, and, you know, I was quite surprised when they actually came out and said that they hadn't actually learnt the stuff that was in the mock exam.
I think exams generally, any exam is stressful. You know, I remember when I was doing my GCSEs all those years ago, I locked myself away every single night and revised. Yet a couple of my mates did no revision, got better grades than me. But for me, I had to revise, so I felt myself was in a better frame of mind doing exams because I put the donkey work in for the revision. Would I got any better grades if I didn't bother to revise, just went and sat the exam? Who knows? But that's just me. I wanted to be as best prepared as I could.
Yeah.
By doing mocks and studying you know, and revising.
I'd not heard anything else from any other youngster that has come in. There was just these three students that said they were concerned because of, and they, you know, that was the topic that they wanted to talk about. And I just thought, you know, you've got to do that.
The support we give in all schools is around the syllabus and around the timetable and around getting it right. That, yeah, the mocks are done properly, properly invigilated, proper exam conditions.
Yeah,
you learn from the mocks. So to get children in the best place they can be, so they get the best chance at the best grade they can get.
I'm disappointed because a couple of years ago I gave you this fantastic idea, Paul. I said, you're having exams in the hottest time of the year.
Yeah, yeah.
These poor so-and-sos are locked up in a cupboard with all that heat with 3,000 other people doing exams. I'm exaggerating a little bit.
No, you're right.
You know, would it be... And I know, you know, you shifted the holidays and that's good, and little steps and all that, but do you reckon there'll ever be a time when we do our exams in a much cooler environment?
No. it's something to do. So I took this up with my senior officers in Hampshire and the Isle of Wight, and it was there's some historic reason why you have to do the school calendar has to follow the current pattern, and exams have to be done at a certain time. It would need a whole change of a whole, because obviously if you changed it, and I don't disagree, it's not a bad idea. You'd have to sort of almost like lose half a year.
Right.
So that's like the GCSE course for some kids has to be 2.5 years. So they'd start in September.
Yeah.
Rather than do exams the next May, they'd have to go to December and 2 full years to December. So you'd have to make their last school year, you know, 2 years and 4 months, wouldn't you? Which would, you know.
But you see where I'm coming from.
Absolutely,
don't you?
It makes perfect sense.
I mean, if you started a new year in January, straight after Christmas, you take your exams in, you know, November time.
So would you advocate giving the young people, you know, instead of a 6 5 weeks of holiday, giving them 5 weeks and 3 months off?
And well,
so they finish in July, don't go back till January.
Yeah, I would give them a period of time off. Yeah, definitely, and start in January. January the second, whatever. And that's your new year, and do your exams in November. That to me makes a whole load of sense. And I'm gonna come back to something you were talking off air, because I look at it and I think you're the man that could do that. You could implement that. We could do that on the island. And you look at, if we don't do these kind of changes, if we don't implement these things to make things better. You went to, was it Gothenburg recently?
Yep.
And you go on, talk us about this system they've got over there, which is like, when you think on the surface, this is a crackpot idea, but it works, doesn't it?
I went on holiday this summer on a cruise. We went to Gothenburg, and we went on a coach tour of the city, and a lot of it is on sort of reclaimed dock land that's been built on with nice apartments, flats, and outside of each house there's a 3-foot-high metal tube in the front of everyone's properties, and the guy on the coach said, you know, guess what they are, and we didn't know. Recycling. You don't have any rubbish bins, you have no wheelie bins. The residents just put the rubbish, take the top off, put all their rubbish into this tube, and it gets sucked away, sorted out automatically underground, comes out the end as recycled goods.
How brilliant is that?
It's incredible.
But you think that's state of the art, isn't it? But somebody must have said at some point, that's what we're going to do. And they would have said, you're crackers. That's
very, very
never
rich person,
happen.
I'd imagine.
Oh, let's hope so.
But no, it's just there's no litter in the streets. They just chuck it all in these big, you know, metal cylinders. And off it goes, recycling.
So I say that my idea still is a good idea. We need to do our exams in November when it's cool.
Although, don't forget, traditionally, of course, people have more colds and flu in the winter, so more people might miss exams because they're not feeling very well.
Not in November.
People
that's
do,
January. Yeah. That's January, February. maybe a bit of December.
But you'd have to change every school in the country.
I'm bringing them forward. Then we're having them in October.
You'd have to change the exam boards. You'd have to get the exam boards to change for the whole country.
Yeah.
It'd have to be a universal thing, because exam boards meet at certain times.
Yeah, but wouldn't that be great to be that person that said, right, I've done this, we've revolutionised this, we've done it, and we've changed it for the better. No more will we have kids in sort of baking conditions where, you know, and maybe even then, that, you know, the results will be even better than they are now. How fantastic would that be?
Although, what time of the year do you feel better in yourself?
October. I'm feeling great in October.
You know, most people, when the sun's shining, you know, people feel good about themselves, don't they? The weather's better, so, you know, they're doing exams, a positive state of mind. In the winter, everyone's depressed because it's raining and it's wet. Christmas is on the way. You know, they've had a cold.
All right, I can see the other side as well. But you, what would you rather have? I mean, you know,
I'd rather have the best start for our young children.
Hay fever,
academically.
So let's do it in October then. It's nice and cool. Fostering.
Yeah, I thought I'd just mention fostering. The Isle of Wight has got. We need more foster carers on the island. You know, we have a need for foster carers on the island. We haven't got enough at the moment for the children on the island that need fostering, which means we have to put them off island, which, it's expensive, but more importantly, it takes the young people away from the environment that they know, possibly the school that they know. It's much better if someone needs to be fostered, they're fostered locally. So we do need more foster carers coming forward. It's a huge marketing campaign at the moment to attract more foster carers. And to anyone out there, you know, it's a very rewarding thing to do to help a young child in a difficult period of their life. If anyone's interested in, you know, exploring the fostering idea better, they can either telephone 823160 or they can email iwhite.com/fostering. If anyone out there has got an interest, you know, please make an inquiry and talk to the team about, you know, fostering options, you know, to help our young people on the island.
Do you know, it's really scary, the amount of people that need fostering. And when you say they've got to go off the island because we haven't got enough foster, you think, crikey, come on. There's lots of people out there that will probably get involved if they knew about it. But, you know, you just think it opens your eyes, because if you've been in a family, I mean, you know, I was in a kind of a, come from a broken home, if you like. People tried to keep it together and so on, but it was never, we never reached a stage where I never had anybody had anybody look after me or you know, be a mother figure or whatever. And you kind of you look at those youngsters that have gone through that, and that issue of, well, they've got no mum, no dad. And we've had a couple of kids that have come through on the four-piece course. There was a young man came through five years ago, and his mum didn't. He wrote a song about it. His mum didn't want him. His dad didn't want him. His granddad died, and his grandma was ill, and he was living with his grandma. And he did this rap thing, and it was just dad in tears, because it was such a sad. And but it opened your eyes, because you come from a life where you had all of those things, and you think, these kids need fostering. Blimey, really? Is it got that bad? So it's a bit like the food banks. You know, a certain member of my family refused to believe that we haven't got food banks in this country. Don't talk wet. That's what, I don't know why we talk wet, but that's what was, and you think, no, open your eyes. This is real. This is happening. There are people that need fostering.
Absolutely.
There are people that need to look after, you know, the food banks and so on, and have to go to food banks and to have food and so on. You know, yeah, we're living in 2019, but, you know, it doesn't mean to say that we're immune to all of those things, because we're not.
No. There's lots of examples of how fostering has worked really well for the young people on the island. You know, some of the fostering placements have become permanent, turned into adoptions. You know, and these people have gone on to thrive with a bit more stability, to thrive in school and get jobs. We just, you know, our campaign as an authority is to attract 20 new foster carers this year.
Right.
Doesn't sound many, but if you put that alongside retention, making sure that the ones who currently do it, there's no point getting 20 new ones if you lose 15 because they, you know, they're not doing it anymore. So you've got to work with the existing foster carers to retain them, attract 20 new ones. And it's, you know, obviously it's a huge financial benefit to us of not having to send people off the mainland for more costly placings. But the most important thing is that the young people get to stay on the island with their mates, with their schooling, an environment that they're comfortable in, just to give them that stability in their lives.
And if you're listening out there and you're thinking about doing it, and you know, just bear this in mind. You just said something there that you've got young people that are having to go off the island, and you're taking them away from everything to do with, you know, their friends, their school, their any normal bit of life they might have. That is, you know, unfortunately, then moved to the mainland. And how scary is that? Whatever age you are, that is really scary. You've got to start again.
Stability is key to a young person. If they're stable where they're living, that would help their education, it would help them get the jobs in the future, the qualifications. It gives them the best start in life we can give them.
How do we get in touch? How do we find out more?
Yeah, you can contact our fostering team on 01983 823 160. Or you can look on the council website, or you can email iwhite.com/fostering. All the information is on there as to what it's all about, who to contact, and we'd welcome just a chat to anyone that's interested to come chat to our team.
We should get them in again. They did come in last year, and they were fabulous. I met three people and they came in. They were so interesting, so really, really down to earth, and so, so helpful. And you know, people like that are credit to the council. Yeah. But look, I've got one negative thing before we go, and it's on the fostering thing. It's your fault you brought it up.
Yeah. Okay.
If you're driving up the flyover, that's what we used to call it, the old dual carriageway, and you look left, and you've got a fostering window that is part of a council building.
Yes.
We've got to do something about that, Paul.
It's awful, isn't it?
It is, because if you had something a bit more inspirational in that window that thousands of people will see, I'm sure you'll get more and more people that want to come in.
But did you notice it?
I noticed it, but
are
I didn't
you talking about it?
I noticed the I didn't notice the number though.
Ah, but did it say fostering?
It. I'm pretty sure it said fostering.
So did it open your mind to?
No, it did.
Okay.
I look at it and think those kids deserve better.
I looked at that and I thought, you know, it's better than nothing. To have something there that says fostering might just trigger someone. But you're quite right, and I shall take that one back in.
I've already given it to John Metcalf. He ain't done nothing. So look, it's down to you. Go on, next time we see that, how inspiring would that be? Even if it's you know, pictures of families having a nice time, or you know, something that's a bit more inspirational. When you go up there and you think the kids deserve better,
yeah,
they do, and they'll get better, and you know, they'll get support and so on. They'll get more support if they see that and think that's a nice picture there.
It is.
It's a nice picture of families and so on. It's a brilliant opportunity to get more and more.
It's been there like that
parents.
For many, many years, hasn't it?
Oh, 2 minutes. So, in about time we've done. You're the man to do it.
It's a good film, this.
You're changing the subject.
No, it's a fair point, Ian. But, you know, at least you noticed it. But you're right, it could be tarted up and made so much better. Yeah.
Hey, look, we're running out of time, hence the credits are running there. You can hear Crocodile Dundee in the background.
Yep.
I just want to say, you're a credit to the council because you've done so many different things, and I like what you've done. And, you know, the fact that the exam results are moving in the right direction, you set a target for the next year, which is, come on, you said C+, what's next?
I'd like to be, I want all schools at national average.
National average, which is?
Well, for primary and secondary, I want all schools to be at national average percentage-wise.
Brilliant.
We've closed the gap this year massively.
Yeah.
By 5% and 4% in the key stage 2 and the GCSE areas. I want that to continue. I want, you know, work with the schools that haven't done quite so well this year to get all our schools, to get the island at national average and all schools at national average.
Okay. And fostering, get involved, Pete.
Please do.
And Paul's going to go and beat the windows in and put some new ones up on that where the signs are now. And also the MS day, November the 16th.
I'll give you some more details on that to help promote that day for us. Be grateful.
Crocodile Dundee's just about to walk across all them heads now.
Absolutely.
And the credits are rolling. Thank you, Paul, for coming in. You're a great guest.
You're welcome.
You're always welcome to come back.
Cheers, Ian.